Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
But I called my sermon the secret power of thanksgiving and praise. And if it is a secret, you know what? It's a secret because people don't look for it. You know, it's hidden in plain sight, this power of God, the power of praise, the power of thanksgiving. It's like when I go into the refrigerator and I'm looking for the ketchup and I can't find it and I call my wife over there. She comes and she finds it. You know what? It was hidden in plain sight. So just like this secret power of God is not hidden if we look for it, if we seek it. You know, my wife said, isn't it funny that a guy can see an elk at 1,000 yards, but he can't find the ketchup in the refrigerator? So if it's a secret, it's a secret because we're not looking for it. But, you know, if we spend time in scriptures, it's going to reveal some things to us. You know, it should be no secret that our praise and our thanksgiving is a key to our victory. You know, and God wants us to have the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And you know what? We find in the Word, wonderful things happen, supernatural things happen when we start to praise God. Prison doors are open. You guys remember the story about Paul and Silas? They were in the church of Philippi. They were beaten, thrown into prison. They were in the stocks. And at midnight, they started to praise the Lord. And that would be a sacrifice of praise. I don't think that would be easy, you know. I mean, you've been beaten, you're treated badly, but they started to praise the Lord. And the scripture says that the other prisoners were listening. And suddenly there was an earthquake, and their chains fell off. Their bondages were falling off. And you know what? I think there's people in the world and people in the church that have bondages on them. They've got bondages of sin. They've got addictions. They've got bad habits. They've got things that they can't overcome. But I think once we start to praise God and give him the glory that is due to him, you know what? These addictions and these bondages, these chains are going to start to fall off of us. Amen? And you know, Jesus, he notices the ones who praise him. Luke 17, starting in verse 11, it talks about the 10 lepers who were cleansed. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. In the Old Testament, if you were cleansed by of leprosy, you would have to go to the priest, and he would have to certify that you were cleansed or that you were free from your leprosy. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. It says, with a loud voice, he fell at his feet, giving him thanks. You know what? It's okay to get a little emotional. You know, we're not the first church of the chosen frozen here, right? That's what I like about our church. You know, I mean, when good things happen, it's okay to get excited. You know, people get excited at football games, and we're not against that. But we can get excited when we start to realize the good things that God has done for us. It says, and he fell at his fell down on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Notice what he said. He said, your faith has made you well. He He didn't say, my divine power has made you well. You know, we always want to put the burden on God, but God always puts the burden back on us. He has the power, but the scripture says, it is by grace through faith that we are saved. So there is grace there for healing, but we access that healing by our faith. Amen. You know, it says that he was a foreigner. He was not a Jew. He was a Samaritan, and the Jews and Samaritans were at odds with each other. So this was a person who was not part of the covenant. And Jesus came first to the Jews. The Jews were the chosen people. But this guy who wasn't part of that covenant, who wasn't part of the chosen people, he was the only one to come back and to give him thanks, to give him the thanks that he deserved. You know, he was a 10%er. There's just one out of the 10 is the one who came back and gave God the praise that was due, or Jesus the praise that was due him. And you know, I wonder what if the when Jesus looks down on the church today, does he see just 10% who are really giving him the praise that he deserves, the worship that he deserves? You know, if that's true, I want to be one of those 10%ers. And hopefully this church is going to be a church that praises God and worships God and gives him the glory that's due. And this church is going to be that 10% church. Amen. You know, we've got so much to be thankful for. You know, he's done so much for us. You know, we were lost. We were without hope. The Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. You know, where would we be without God? You know, and even if somebody feels like they have a good life now, you know, they feel like they have a lot of money, but you know what? We can look ahead. We can look down the road, and we can see that the future is bleak. The future is black. If you're only concerned about your money and everything that is in this world is just your material possessions, you know what? The future is black. You're going to run into that wall. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his soul? So we thank God for his wonderful gift of eternal life. We thank him for working in our lives every day. You know, and we do have so much to be thankful for. And we do praise him for who he is. Amen. And you know what? And God didn't just give the money and the material possessions just for the sinners. I don't think that would be right. You know, God is blessed our church also. So God gives good to the church, but you know, we don't rely on those material possessions. It's not about a material world. You know, this world is passing away. Amen. Mm-hmm. But you know, somebody out there might say, you know, I believed God. He wants good things for me. You know, I've read the scripture that says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall God not, along with Jesus, freely give us all things? That's Romans 8:32. So God wants to freely give us all things. Amen. He's already given his very best. He didn't spare his own son. But there's people out there that says, let's be honest though. You know, I've got problems, serious problems. You know, I might have health problems. I might have problems with my kids, you know, maybe they're in rebellion, or my finances, or my marriage. You know, I want to give thanks, but you know, sometimes it just seems like I don't have anything to give thanks for. I mean, I don't know. Have you guys ever been there? I mean, we can be honest here. You know, sometimes it's not always easy. I've got two things to say about that. Is don't give up, don't quit now. You know, if you're going for the things of God and if you're believing for the things of God, you know what the scripture says: through faith and patience, we inherit the problems. We inherit the promises. Sometimes it does seem like we inherit problems, but we need to have that patience, church. Sometimes things don't happen right away. You know, so we still need to have that thankful attitude. You know, we give thanks for what he's done for us, and we give praise for who he is. I mean, that's the difference between praise and thankfulness. So that's the first thing, is don't quit. Don't give up. But at the same time, we don't have to wait to give him thanks. You know what? We can give him thanks in advance. Mark 11:24, if you would. Mark 11:24, this is Jesus talking, so I put the words in red. So it would be just like Jesus walked up to you and talking to you personally. It says, "Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." So Jesus is talking, and he says, believe you receive when you pray, and you shall have them. It doesn't say believe you receive when you receive. You know, that doesn't take any faith. So Jesus is telling us, you know what, if you want something, believe you receive it now. Jesus says, believe in advance. So you know what? If I'm asking for a healing in my body, and I think it's God's will, you know what? And I believe I receive when I pray, I can start thanking him right now for that healing before it comes. You know, I mean, my financial lack, you know what? God's going to make a way when there seems to be no way. Amen? You know, we just got to rely on Jesus. The old hymn says, "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." So let's make our stand on what, on the Word of God, on God's Word is God's will. But you know, somebody might say, "So how do I know God's will? How does He know that He wants to heal me? Maybe He's trying to teach me something." Do you ever think that, or with this illness, maybe He's trying to teach me patience? You know. Okay, I might say I'm as broke as a joke, but maybe God's trying to teach me to be humble. So how can we know His will? Can we be confident in God's will? That's a question I have. But I think it is. You know, God is not, God is stable, God is steady. Like I said, it's a rock, amen? John, 1 John 5:14-15. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God." Somebody say confidence. You know what? He wants us to have confidence in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. So God wants us to have confidence in approaching Him. Amen. You know, and let's deal, and then the scripture also says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we can find what Jesus wants in the Bible, you know what, we can have confidence in approaching Him. We can start thanking Him and praising Him in advance because we know what His will is, because the Bible tells us what the will is. So we were talking about healing, so I'm going to go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17. I guess I'll just read it up there. And this is Jesus. It says, "Many were healed in the evening." It says, "When evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed. And He cast out the spirits with the word, and He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness.'" So you know what? I'm going to read that, and I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read it again. And I'm going to start meditating on that. You know, the Bible's got a lot to say about meditating on the scriptures. And that's not some mysterious, weird thing. That just means going over in it, and getting it on the inside. And I'm going to place myself there. I'm going to see Him in the evening time. And the people coming to Him. And Jesus is reaching out and touching them. And He's healing the sick. And then it says, "He Himself took our infirmities and He bore our sickness." You know, and that makes me think about communion. You know, Jesus took our sicknesses. He took our pains. He took our sorrows upon His own body. So and I'm going to start thanking Him for that. And I'm going to start thanking that, "Yes, Lord, I know Your will. Your will is health. Your will is healing. And Lord, we thank You in advance, Lord God, because it's coming to pass." And we praise you, Lord. Even, you know, we're going to keep praising you whether we see that healing or not, because you are a good God and because you are a healer. And, you know, that's how you receive from God, thanksgiving and praise, meditation on his word. You know, there's nothing new. There's no secret formula. This is something that hopefully we've been hearing about for years, you know, since we're kids. But you know what? Sometimes it's easier to say than it is to do. But thanksgiving is so important. It's so easy to get negative in this world. You know, this world is a negative place. You know, we read the news, and it's probably good that we know what's going on, you know, about the killings and everything like that. I mean, we don't want to ignore what's going on, but you know what? We don't want to spend all of our time focusing on that. We want to focus on God and these good and precious promises, like the Bible says. So you know what? If you need healing, find those healing scriptures. Meditate on them. Go over them. You know what? It's going to change you. It's going to change you from the inside out. And once you're changed on the inside, you know what? Things are going to start to change on the outside. Amen? You know, there's promises for so many different areas. Have you got rebellious children? Somebody who's got the children who's walked away and they're in this world and they don't seem to be caring about the things of God? Well, Isaiah 54:13 says, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be your children's peace." I mean, you guys probably heard that scripture before, but you know what? We need to confess it. We need to believe it. We need to keep that in front of us every day. All my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be my children's peace. Amen? And there's the promise of the Holy Spirit for my children. Acts 2:38 says, "And then Peter came to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and your children and to those who are far off, and as many as call upon the Lord will be saved.'" So this promise of the Holy Spirit is for you, each one of us, and it's for our children and for many who are as far off. And that could be your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren or your great-great-grandchildren. You know, who knows? I mean, somebody might have been praying for you 5 generations back. You know, you might have a great-grandfather or a great-grandmother, you know, praying for you. Because this, and they were confessing this, you know, that this promise of the Holy Spirit is for our children and for our grandchildren and for those generations to come. Mm-hmm. I've got some more for promises for the kids. Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 16. "And thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears." So quit your crying. "For your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is a hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to your own border." And once again, you know what? Your children are in the world. You know what? We have a hope that they're going to come back. So we're going to start praising, this is God's will, you know, and we're going to start giving him thanks in advance. Hey, this is coming to pass. We're going to start getting excited about it. Amen. That this is good news, and that's what the word gospel means, is good news. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've got a few more for the kids, for the children, and you know what? But there's promises for every area of your life. Isaiah 49:25. It says, "What the soldiers have taken away will be saved, and I will fight your enemies, and I will save your children." Hey, you know, that's pretty plain, right? I will save your children. Amen. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to grab a hold of that, and I'm not going to let that go. I will. It doesn't say I might save your children. I will save your children. But it says, "I will fight your enemies." You know what? You've got enemies. I mean, we need to fight the good fight. If we just lay down and let whatever comes to us happen, you know what? We're gonna lose. I mean, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. But you know what? If we don't fight, we don't win. But if we fight, we win. Amen? That's why it's called the good fight. It's a good fight when you fight and you win, right? Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Mm-hmm. And you've got, and there's promises for your finances. Amen. You know what? I mean, that's probably one of the most important, what I see the church praying for most of all is health and children or families, and then also finances. But there's good news. You know what? There's promises for your finances. And it says, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You guys know that one, right? That's Philippians 4:19. But some of these promises are conditional. And if you could go to the next slide, please. It says, and I have received, this is Paul talking. He's writing a letter to the church of Philippi. And it says that I have received full payment and I have more than enough. I am amply supplied. And now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you have sent, they are a fragrant offering and an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. See, Paul received the gift so that he could get the gospel out. And that's God's priority, is to get this gospel out. He wants, the Great Commission says, go into all the world and preach this gospel. So Paul received the gift, and then we can claim the promise that says, and my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. So God wants us to give. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you. So some of these promises, like I said, they're conditional. So when we give, you know, we're going to receive. I mean, some people seem to be insulted by that. But, you know, this seems to be a, it doesn't seem, this is a standard throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. So this is Jesus talking. Once again, he says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. So that's the good news. So that's one of these great and precious promises. That's something that we can start to believe in. You know, God, I've given. I you know what? So now I'm going to start thanking you in advance, because I know that my finances are coming in, Lord God. Things might seem tight right now, but you know what? I'm going to start thanking you in advance, because you know my heart. I'm generous. I've given what I can. So start claiming that. Start believing that. So start thanking him in advance. Amen? Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. So as we water others, I know we've got... you guys got flowers, or we've got some flowers, and we've got tomatoes, and we've got a few plants. You know what? I was thinking about that. As we water them, you know what? God is going to water us. And you know, and rich is a comparative term. You know, if you think about it, you know what? We're all rich in this place. You know, we've all been blessed. I mean, we don't want to be materialistic. But you know what? The more we give, and the scripture is clear, the more we give, the more we receive. I mean, God is faithful. As we prove to him that he's able to use us, you know what? God is going to keep fulfilling our needs. We're not going to be in lack because that's just the way God works. Sowing and reaping. You know, we sow like one little kernel of corn. You know what? When you reap, you plant a kernel of corn, you're not just going to reap one little kernel of corn, right? You're going to reap ear after ear after ear. So that's the way God works, and that's the way God works with finances. So some of these promises, like I said, they're conditional. If we haven't been giving, if we've been selfish, if we've been self-centered, we can't claim, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. So we need to fulfill what we need to have. You know, there's people out there that are depressed. You know what? We've got good news for that. The Word has answers. I know there's a lot of people anymore that are on depression medications, and I'm not criticizing anybody, you know, and you know, if that works, you know, that's good for you. But, you know, I know there for a lot of people, there's a lot of side effects in those. And before we go to the medications, before we do that, maybe we should try doing it the Bible way. You know, the Bible way is, there's no side effect to that. All the side effects of the Bible way are good. Amen. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." The joy of the Lord is my strength. Maybe I'm feeling depressed. Maybe I'm feeling down. But you know what? I'm going to quote that to myself. I'm going to look away from the things that are making me depressed. I'm going to look away from those ugly things, those bad things. You know what? And I'm going to look to the Lord. And that joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. So there's a lot of it. Just is your focus. You know, if we're focusing on the bad things, you're going to be able to find it. If you're looking for bad things, you're going to be able to find it. But you know what? If you're looking for the good things about God, you know what? You're going to find that too. Psalm 5:11 says, "But let all those who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing forever for joy and spread your protection over them. And those who love your name may exalt in you." Praise God. You know what? Psalms is such a good book. There's so much about the joy of the Lord, you know, and you can read it, but you know what? And he's honest, you know, when you start reading the book of Psalms. Sometimes, you know what, when he's feeling down, you know, he'll tell the Lord. He'll say, "Lord, you know, I'm discouraged. The enemy seems to be winning over me." But you know what, by the end of the psalm, you know what, he changes and he starts saying, "But you're good, but you're faithful. Things are going to work out because of who you are." And then he starts to praise God, and then he starts to thank God, and you know what, and then our attitude starts to change. And then you might find, you know what, I don't need these chemicals. You know what, I've got something better. I've got that greater one living inside of me. Amen. You guys getting anything out of this? Yeah. All right, are we going to find something to be thankful for? Yes, we are. You know, we're going to start thanking him in advance, you know. We're going to start getting excited. Praise God. You know, things are looking down right now, but you know what? We're going to have a wonderful testimony. You know, you're not going to have a testimony if you don't have any tests, though, right? So there's going to be problems. There's going to be situations. Jesus said, "The rain falls on the just and the unjust." So every day is not going to be sunny and 90 degrees, or how about 85 degrees, right? There's going to be problems in this world. And I think sometimes people, when they come to the church the first time, they have the idea, the false idea, okay, that now I've become a Christian, you know what, all my problems are over, everything's going to be hunky-dory, and I'm going to be on easy street. I don't think the Bible promises you that. You know what? You're going to have challenges, but the Bible says that this is the victory that overcomes the world. I already used this verse. Even our faith, we can overcome. Amen. There's promises. Praise God. And we need to get excited about it. Yeah, that woman who came to Jesus, you know, she had tears. She was emotional. She was so thankful for what Jesus had done for her. You know, she washed his feet with her tears, you know, and it just impacts me. You know, this is something that should be affecting us at our deepest level. You know, we should be rejoicing. We should be happy. We should be so thankful for these things. Amen. Mm-hmm. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures evermore." Amen. Praise God. So what I'm saying, church, is that we've got promises. We've got those great and precious promises. We've got promises for our children. We've got promises for our finances. We've got promises if we're depressed. We've got promises in so many other areas of life. And I'm sure, you know, whatever you're looking for, you know what, you can find it in the Bible here. And there's a lot of negatives about the internet age, but one of the positives is You know what? If you need to find scriptures for healing, you know what? Just take out your smartphone and look up scriptures for healing. You know what? And you're going to find some good ones. And you're going to read over them. And you know what? And some of them are going to seem to speak to you more than others. I know we take those scriptures and we meditate on them. And we keep meditating on them and thinking about them until we start to get happy about it. Amen. And then we start to have that joy. Praise God. So the Bible says that all his promises are yes and amen. And I'm going to read a couple more Psalms. And if you guys want some homework this week, and, you know, on top of your regular Bible reading, like I said, you know, spend some time in the Psalms. I think that it's going to change you. You know, it'll change your life. You know, this is, you know, Jesus quoted the Psalms. So spend some time in the Psalms. Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we not ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So we enter into his gates. The gates are the outside with thanksgiving. We're thanking him. And then we go into the deeper area, into his courts with praise. So we thank him and we praise. And you know what? If we keep praising long enough, that praise is going to go even deeper. It's going to go into the worship. And that's where we need to be, is into that the area, the holiest of holiest, that place of worship. And, you know, and the music that we listen to is so important also. You know, I don't listen to any secular music. You know, I listen to Christian music or very little. Sometimes occasionally, I don't want to lie. For 95% of the time, I listen to Christian music, you know, and at the same time, you know, listening to it is good, but worshiping is not just listening to it, but it's actually entering in. You know, you can listen to good music, but it's different than entering in and thinking, you know, yes, Lord, you're talking to me, and yes, Lord, you are a good God, and yes, Lord, I am going to worship. And that's why I appreciate Isaac and our worship team here. You know what? This is pretty good music. This is really good music. I've been to some small churches where the music has not been that great. And my wife Leslie knows what I'm talking about there. So when we lived in Winnemucca and stuff. But you know, even then, you know, we're not here to judge the music and saying, oh, you know, that person was a little off key, or I wish they would play it a little faster, you know, because it's never going to be perfect. We do our best, you know, we enter into that spirit of worship, and then God starts to work in our lives. Amen. So I'm gonna say one more psalm here, this is one that I learned back when I was younger. I used to read King James. I just wonder, does anybody still read King James? Okay, we got a few here. Psalm 103, and if you read it in the New King James or some other ones, some other versions, it'll probably say, praise the Lord, O my soul. But the way I learned it was, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless ye his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, and who crowns me with love, kindness, and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So I just remember memorizing this when I was young, you know, and just something that we need to do too is not just read. Sometimes we need to memorize some things, you know, get these words down deep into our hearts. Amen. Okay, we're gonna have the singers come up, and we're gonna do one more song of praise and worship. Because we want to seal this, you know, we want to not just hear this, we want to hear it and remember it, and we want to do it. The Bible says, "Don't be a forgetful doer or a forgetful hearer." We don't want to just hear the word and then walk off and not be changed. But before we do that, you know what? I'm gonna give some people, anybody in here who has not been born again, or has not been saved, or is not sure, I'm going to give you that opportunity to be born again. Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And when we're talking about being born again or being saved, it basically means the same thing. You know what? It's not talking about joining a religion. So, you know, people at work, they might look at you and say, okay, that guy is Christian. He's religious. But you know what? I don't really look at myself as religious. I look at myself as having a relationship with the Lord. Amen? It's not about rules and regulations, but it's about a relationship. It's about the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of your heart. Your heart, your spirit is united with God's spirit. And that's what it means to be born again. Amen? And you know what? You don't have to clean yourself up to say, well, you know, I would like to be born again, but you know what? I've got sin in my heart. You know what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And you know, sometimes it's the people who are, sometimes it's people who outwardly seems to be the most righteous, but you know what? They're the ones who are self-righteous. And they're the ones who God rejects. You know, it was the Pharisees, the religious people, who were the ones who wanted to put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't the sinners. Jesus didn't have a bad word to say to the sinners, but he called the Pharisees, you blind guides, you brood of vipers. He's calling them a bunch of snakes. You hypocrites, you whitewashed walls. So it's the people who are self-righteous. It's the self-righteous people who are not acceptable to God. But Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Amen? So I don't have this up here, but Romans 10:9-10. This is how you get saved. You know, and it's easy for us. It's simple for us, but you know what? Jesus paid a high price for it. He took all of our sins upon himself on the cross. So Jesus 10, starting in verse 9, if I can find it, it says, well, I'll start in verse 8. It says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, but we believe in it, our heart, that Jesus was risen from the dead. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I'm going to pray this prayer right now. And if you believe it, and if you want to be born again, just say amen. And amen means so be it. Let it be so. So if you would, please close your eyes. Lord, we come to you knowing that we have sinned, knowing that we deserve hell, Lord God, and that in ourselves there is no good thing. But you have provided the way that we could go to heaven. You provided the way that we can have a good life on this earth, that the Holy Spirit can come and live in us. So, Lord, I'm going to call you Lord right now, that you're my master, you're my boss. I'm no longer master of my own life, but you are Lord of my life. And I thank you, Lord, that you have saved me and that I'm born again. And if you believe it, say amen. Amen. All right, thank you. You know what? We're going to listen to some good praise music, and we're going to walk out of here with praise in our heart, and we're going to unload our burdens onto the Lord. Amen. Thank you very much.